Good morning. I am Ian Nickerson, and I get to preach to you today. I am thankful to the God in heaven for this opportunity to stand before you and share with you my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am thankful to Josh for extending to me this opportunity to be with you on this morning. I have with me today my eighth grade girlfriend. She's now my wife for life. That's Sherita Nickerson. Raise your hand. Then my daughter, Iana. And then our good friend, Shannon. And this guy, don't ask him any questions about me because he knows everything. It's my college roommate, John Valles. Good to have them with us visiting. Really am thankful for the partnership, the relationship that you have with Mission Resource Network, and I'm very thankful for your graciousness and how you have helped me do what I do with the Atlantic Bridge Initiative. Very thankful for your support and making what I do possible. So thank you. Thank you for what you do. If you could do something for me, this really would help me out. Will you, just for a moment, will you scoot up to the edge of your seat just for a moment? Everyone, scoot to the edge of your seat. Thank you, thank you. That was 97% of you, thank you. And just for a moment, will you just take a deep breath and hold it? And let it go. Good. Now, David Allen is here. He works with me, and they're going to ask him, how did I do here? And he'll be able to say he had them on the edge of their seat and took their breath away. Yeah. So you got what you're supposed to say, David. All right. Good deal. Good deal. Now, if you could take out one verse in the Bible, if you could take out one verse in the Bible, which one would it be? For me, it is the verse under consideration this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, particularly verse 44. Listen to what Jesus says. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Listen, in these often dark days when it seems as if every day we are faced with more news that is discouraging and depressing, in days and times like these, what God desires and demands of us is to live our faith out loud. Hear me. Christianity is not an ideal designed for ideal situations. Sometimes you are face to face with a power that doesn't care about your Christian sensibilities. And yet you are called to display some undaunted behaviors. Remembering that Jesus calls us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And you all know that it takes just a little salt to change the flavor of anything. And a little bit of light can lighten any dark room. As a reminder to us, a little bit of us living our faith can change our environments. If there would be people of God who step up to the commandment of Jesus Christ to live their life courageously as Christians, what kind of impact what we have. Hear me, Christianity was never meant to be comfortable or easy. Hear me, casual churchgoer. Christianity is not an extracurricular activity that you put on your resume of life. This is something that changes how we think and how we walk. This is what makes us strange in the world, that makes us peculiar. This is what gets you uninvited from happy hour. This is a lifestyle that ought to make some people around you feel uncomfortable. Christianity is not easy. And one of the most difficult things God commands us to do is at the heart of this message, love courageously. Read through Matthew chapter 5, and you'll see that Jesus engages in systematically examining six laws of Israel that he believes have been misinterpreted. Don't miss this. Six times, Jesus lifts up a law that Israel lives by and suggests to the people of Israel, you've heard it wrong, this is what it really means. He uses the phrase repeatedly, you have heard it said, followed by, but I say unto you. In verses 21, 27, 31, 33, 38, 43, Jesus lifts up the phrase, you've heard it said. He then quotes a law that is rooted in scripture and then says, but I say to you. So let me give you an example. In verse 21, he says, you've heard it said. He then mentions a law about murder. Now, if you got a good study Bible, there's a reference scripture right there that tells you that is a law that comes from Exodus chapter 20. And then Jesus says, but I say unto you. In verse 27, Jesus says, you've heard it said, and he mentions a law about adultery. Now, if you got a good study Bible, that Bible tells you that that law comes from Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, that's the pattern that is at play. When you get to verse 43, Jesus says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, if you got a good Bible, there's a footnote right there that tells you that comes from Leviticus 19:18. The problem is, when you go to Leviticus 19:18, all it says is, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't miss this. Jesus says, you've heard a law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but the law actually says, love your neighbor. Have you caught it yet? If the law only says, love your neighbor as yourself, where does the hate your enemy come from? Are you with me? Can I tell you where it comes from? Somebody added it. Yeah. They added it and said it so much that by the time Jesus shows up, it's a law in Israel that says, look, you can love your neighbor and hate your enemy and still be right with God. Hating your enemy is something that was added from the human heart. Because if we can be honest for just a brief moment, hating your enemy is instinctive. And there are some people who are easy to hate. People who openly and boldly lie to your face, they're easy to hate. For some of you, Philadelphia fans are easy to hate. Yeah. People who stab you in the back, people who say something to others but they don't have the courage to say it to your face, people who molest children, those are easy to hate. Sometimes people who vote differently than you vote are easy to hate. And Jesus says, listen, if you hate your enemies and you can only love people that love you, you're no better than the scoundrels of your society. So here's what Jesus says. You want the Lord to look at you and say, well done? You want to change the world in which you live? Don't just love folk who love you. No, here's what I say to you. Love your enemies. Friend, there's one verse. If there's one verse I could take out of the Bible, it'll be this one. Because it's not easy to love your enemies. It's not easy to bless those that curse you. It's not easy to do good to them that hate you. It's not easy to pray for them that persecute you. So Jesus calls us to practice some courageous love by loving your enemies. Now, if I can love a neighbor, but I can convince myself I can hate an enemy, what is the difference between a neighbor and an enemy? Can I tell you what the difference between a neighbor and an enemy is? It's your perception of them. It's not based upon what they do. It's based upon how you see them and how you label them. And courageous love begins when you make the decision to look at somebody and refuse to call them enemy. I might not like what you said. I sure don't like what you did. But when I look at you, I refuse to see someone that I label as my enemy, because the minute I call you enemy, it's on and popping. But if I see you as something else, I can refuse to fight. So it begins with me, Brian Jones. It begins with me saying, I refuse to call you my enemy. And listen to this. I refuse to let others tell me you're my enemy. Church, please, don't let others define who you are supposed to be fighting. When you grow and you mature in your walk in the Lord, you reach a place where you determine, ain't nobody going to put me in the ring to fight with somebody that I don't determine is my enemy. You will not make me hate someone. I'm too grown to fight because you want me to fight somebody. So here's a challenge, Mary Key. Don't see an enemy. See a neighbor. Word neighbor in Greek is a weird word, because literally translated, it means near man. And it's not about residential closeness, it's about human proximity. To recognize that when I see you, I see someone who's near to me, someone who's similar to me, someone who's like me. And what will allow me to love you is when I recognize that although we may be dissimilar in a lot of ways, you and I are still very much alike. In fact, I have the understanding that we are all spirits, and we have souls, and we live in this body. I have this understanding that the spirit is the real me. My soul is my personality, and this house, this body is just a house that I live in. So when I walk in here, I don't just see a bunch of white people or a bunch of African-American people. I see spirits. And I understand that you have a soul, you have a personality, and it helps me to get along with the house that you might live in. Rather than me seeing an enemy, I see someone who's like me. And courageous love begins when you look beyond someone's actions and validate their humanity. I see you just like me, and I won't fight you because I know you're guilty of the same things I do. So here's what Jesus says. He says, don't hate your enemy. Now, this is actually a play on words in the original Greek language, because the word enemy literally means hateful. So watch what Jesus says in the original. Don't hate the hateful. Don't hate those who are filled with hate. I'm trying to think of how to say this word. Don't do what they did. I felt a George Bush moment right then. Don't model to them what they model to you. Here it is in Twitter form. Don't become the reflection of your enemy. Don't let them look at you and see a reflection of their own bad behavior. Right? He says, one, do good to them that hate you. That phrase, do good, It means to leave no room for blame on your part. To leave no room for blame on your part with those who've done you wrong. When someone does you wrong, there are two things God is watching. He's watching what they did and how you respond. He says, don't be one who can be blamed. Do good to them who hate you. And watch what else he says. Bless them that curse you. Now, JV, you know, there was a time where I really needed help with this one because there was a time, I'm going to tell you right now, you curse me, you might get cursed back. Yeah? I knew how to put some words together that were not in the scripture. The word blessed that Jesus uses comes from that Greek word eulogeo, which in part means to speak well of, words of praise. When someone curses you, speak well of them. When someone does evil to you, speak well of them. When someone takes it to the gutter, speak well of them. Michelle said, when they go low, we go. He says, do good to them, to bless them. And then here's what Christian love looks like. David, I'm challenged because I wish Jesus would have said, pray about them. But he says, pray for them. You do know there's a difference between praying about someone and praying for someone, right? So watch the difference between praying for and about. When I'm praying about you, I'm just telling God what's wrong with you. Lord, you know how wretched she is. You know how messed up they are. God, help me. Right. But here's praying for someone. Lord, heal them of that issue. Here's praying for someone. Lord, bring so many blessings in their life that they forget about me. You're turning them over to the hands of God. And Jesus says, when you do that, verse 48, when you do that, you will be perfect like God. That means you have grown to a place where you can pray for someone and recognize what God does. God allows it to rain on the just and the unjust. Watch this, that God does not make a decision of how he handles someone based on what you want God to do to them. Let me make it real easy. Just because you don't like someone doesn't mean God doesn't like them. For somebody today, there is an assignment of homework when worship is over for you to go to lunch, for you to go home or work tomorrow, well, Tuesday, and not see an enemy. Walk in telling yourself, I do not have to fight you today. I don't have to hate you today because I know something. You're just like me. And when I look at you, I see someone that God tells me to do good to. God tells me to bless. I pray over this and I put it in God's hands and I'll let God handle the sunshine and the rain. Love who? Love your enemies. Love courageously. Let's pray, church. Every day, God, the devil wants us to see a new enemy. Someone else we got to go at it with. Someone else who's done us wrong, and now we got to get even. And I pray today that when that happens, remind us, Lord, to love our enemies, to see them as someone like me, not someone I need to fight. To recognize that I've got to live my life in a good way where there's no blame on me because of what they did. That I'll speak well of them, even if that means saying nothing or determining that I'm not going to deal with this anymore. God, that I pray for them right now. I want the Holy Spirit to put in the image of our mind someone we thought was an enemy and I want us to pray for them. Pray for the Lord to have his way. Pray for God to bless them, to heal them, to rain on their field, to bring sunshine for their harvest. God, I pray for him and her this evening, this morning. I pray for them that I might walk in courageous Christian love. It's in your hands now, God. I will not put my mouth on this again. Love who? I'll love my enemies. I love them with courageous love. In Jesus' name, amen.